Is it time for the NFL's rushing champion to call Indianapolis home once again? Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jake Arthur and he is Zach Hicks. We are coming to you from horseshoehuddle.com. I'm the resident credentialed media member, bringing you the latest from Colts OTAs. A good look at Anthony Richardson mixed in with the veterans coming on Thursday. And Zach is the most prolific film guy that we have got in the Colts market. He is in the midst of one film series over at horseshoehuddle.com and going to start another one soon after.
Yep. Yep. That's my goal, guys. Continually give you a film series throughout the offseason. So if you want the updates on Anthony Richardson, stuff like that, you go to Jake. But if you want the in-depth analysis when it comes to stuff that they could do with him and could do with other players on the roster, you come to me. We give it to you all here on horseshoehuddle.com.
Yep, straight and nerdy. That's how we're going to do it. on today's show, we're going to talk about the running backs. If you caught our quarterback episode the other day, which most of them are anymore, but we started a new series breaking down each position group for the Colts. Today is our second installment, again, talking running backs. Really interesting group. You could probably make an argument this is the deepest running back group for the Colts on paper in a bit, as far as capable players or guys who you would think should be pretty capable of playing, headlined by Jonathan Taylor, a former rushing champion, along with a couple nice important depth pieces, and then at least one or two intriguing bubble guys on there. So we'll go ahead and start with Jonathan Taylor. Of course, this guy really needs no introduction. Ran for over 1,000 yards as a rookie, capped that with a Colts single game franchise record over 250 yards in the season finale, followed that up in his sophomore season, leading the league in rushing, led the next closest guy by over 500 yards, 1,800 total yards or 1,800 yards rushing with 18 touchdowns, added another 360 yards to the air and another two touchdowns. So arguably the best season a Colts running back has ever had. And then he hit a big speed bump last year, as well as everyone in the offense, really. Was limited to just 11 games because of an ankle injury that really plagued him and then ultimately put him on IR to end the season. The offensive line really struggled at the beginning of the year. He did not look comfortable running behind them, and it led to career lows across the board. Again, not playing in six games made a huge difference in that. But his averages, four and a half yards per carry is something a lot of running backs would covet, but it was a career low for him. 861 yards rushing, 143 through the air, and only four total touchdowns. So what's your outlook on him this year? I mean, we've kind of seen him in two extremes now in back-to-back seasons. So what's your temperature on him this year?
You know, it is hilarious. You kind of mentioned it there when you were introducing him. Is last year was his down year, and he was still on pace for well over 1,000 yards. Yeah. He plays all 17 games, and he had 4.5 yards per carry. Like, that is a career year for most running backs. So you know that we're talking about someone completely special when we're talking about Jonathan Taylor, because the offensive line was horrendous last year. There was no passing threat in this offense for a majority of the season. And he still got close to 1,000 yards and had over 4.5 yards a carry. And even the year before that with Carson Wentz at quarterback, there were certain games where the Colts could not throw the football whatsoever, and they were leaning on him rushing for 200 yards a game. Like, that was the New England game, obviously, one of the biggest wins in the last couple seasons was all Jonathan Taylor doing the entire offense there. So we're talking about a phenomenal running back, one of the best running backs in all of football. And it's about getting him back to being like that status here in the NFL. Like, last year, even with the down year, you could still say he was like a fringe top 10 running back in the league. Like, he was a good running back last year. But you just got to get the fumbles down. You got to get him healthy, and you got to get more efficiency and more open space in front of him. And that's the beauty of Anthony Richardson. You know, we're talking about a young quarterback coming in who has the ability to stretch defenses out wide, who has the ability to dictate what's in the box and dictate what defenders' eyes are doing. And that's going to create probably the lightest boxes that Jonathan Taylor has ever seen in his entire career. I don't feel like I'm being hot takey when I'm predicting that Jonathan Taylor could have his best, his most efficient season ever running the ball because of how light the box is going to be. You know, he might not get to where he was in 2021 because he got so many carries that year and just so much volume in an offense that needed him to be elite in order to make the playoff, or to come close to making the playoffs, excuse me there. But with Anthony Richardson, you know, they might not lean on him as much as that season. They might do more committee stuff. They might have Anthony Richardson run the ball a little bit more. But I think we could see a career best season in terms of yards per carry, a career best in explosive play percentage and stuff like that because of how light that box is going to be. There's going to be linebackers that are keeping their eyes on Anthony Richardson at all times. And because of that, it's going to just create these looser boxes. You know, he's going to have to adjust to a different style. He's going to have to play more in the gun and not be under, you know, not be in that eye formation as much as what he was throughout his entire career. But I really do think this could be one of the most efficient and effective seasons for Jonathan Taylor if everything goes right for this Colts team. So obviously they got to fix the offensive line. They got to get Anthony Richardson rolling and get him on the field. But I think things are shaping up to a really good season for Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, something you're kind of alluding to. And I think, you know, the Colts offensive philosophy will be a lot more Jonathan Taylor friendly, I think, too. Last year was just a mess. And I mean, it didn't start out clean. Now he had a big game against Houston in that first week, but the Jonathan Taylor performances were very few and far between. And again, everything was just so clunky. Your quarterbacks had zero threat to run. Everything was really compressed. The offensive line wasn't performing well. Mm-hmm. And so philosophically, I think at least a decent chunk of it when it comes to Taylor is probably going to resemble more what it did in 2021 when he had that huge year. You know, Carson Wentz is a guy that can get out and you know, stretch the box a little bit in the backfield. And obviously Anthony Richardson can do that as well. So those two kind of tag teaming the run game and, you know, the options and everything like that, I think that'll be really advantageous. You mentioned the boxes should be uncharacteristically light for defenses that are normally going against Taylor. So I think that's really big. And I'd also be remiss not to mention, I mean, this has nothing to do with him on the field, but as of Wednesday that we're recording this, Taylor has changed management, his agency. So a lot of people are obviously wondering about a contract extension coming down the way for him because he's eligible now. The Colts want to get that done. I know running back value is a big hot topic online and everything, whether or not they're worth it. The Colts don't care about the argument. He's worth it to them. So yeah. they're gonna work this out. And I'm sure Taylor will get a contract extension at some point coming up. This was a big domino to fall, was him getting a new representation. So
yeah. One last thing I'll say about Jonathan Taylor is, especially with the contract stuff, is we'll do a whole series of podcasts, maybe just one podcast. We'll see on just the cost analysts and the cost to benefit of paying that running back and what that, you know, the available cap they'll have with Anthony Richardson being on his quarterback contract, his rookie quarterback contract. But one more thing I want to throw about Jonathan Taylor going into this next season, just to provide some hope, is yes, Shane Steichen's coming over here. He's not bringing Jeff Stoutland. But if you look at that Philadelphia Eagles offense the last 2 years, they've been extremely effective running the football. You know, not even just including their quarterbacks. You know, if you include their quarterback in Jalen Hurts, they've had the best rushing offense the last 2 years in all of football. But if you only look at their running backs, yards per carry wise, they have been a good 0.3, 0.4, maybe even 0.5 yards per carry higher than the league average the last couple seasons. And that's with guys like, I'm not trying to talk bad about these guys, but like Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, good running backs, but none of those guys are Jonathan Taylor. So if Shane Steichen can bring some of those concepts and some of those things that worked in Philly over to Indy, maybe with a lesser offensive line, but again, just bringing those similar concepts over and using that quarterback as a decoy in the run game, you could get Jonathan Taylor maybe pushing over 5 yards per carry this next season, which would be phenomenal for him.
Oh yeah. He's, you know, up until last year, he's been north of 5 yards a carry, five and a half, really.
Yeah. Maybe pushing six then. Maybe pushing six. Like, I don't want to get too crazy. I don't want to get too crazy, but
I know we're running really long on this segment, but it's not hot given his history and the numbers he has produced. It's not hot takey to say 1500 yards and close to 6 yards a carry, because he's done it. Like, those are things he's achieved, but
I'll let you just push it in a second, but like, of all the players on this Colts roster that we're talking about, you know, we can be optimistic and be like, oh, Quiddy Pay is going to break out. Oh, Michael Pittman's going to break out. John Taylor is a bona fide superstar. Yeah. This is a bona fide superstar. So it's not hot takey to say he could have these elite numbers, because he is that good. So, I mean, I think when you're projecting Jonathan Taylor, you have to project high, because yes, he had a down year last year, but he's a really, really good football player.
Yeah, absolutely. He, again, proven star, been there, done that. Next, how do we sort out this whole backfield behind Taylor? Because there's some good players, some intriguing guys. But first, let's get a word from our friends over at FanDuel. Everybody, go make a fast break over to FanDuel during these NBA playoffs as the championship series gets here. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. There's really no better place to bet all of the NBA action than at America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
And every day is yesterday. We had QB coach Greg Pennelly on the show to talk all about Anthony Richardson. I mean, not even particularly about Anthony Richardson, but talking about quarterback mechanics and how you would approach a quarterback like Anthony Richardson. And he also dished out some advice for a young player like Richardson, because Greg Pennelly, of course, is famously known for working with Josh Allen, one of the most phenomenal outliers in the history of the sport. Anthony Richardson's hoping to be the next version of that. So Greg Pennelly dished out some really, really good info if you guys want to check that out. All right, Jake. So diving into this running back depth, man, I don't know if I can fully agree with you at the very top of the show where you said this is the deepest running back group they've had, but I really enjoy a lot of the players they have. I think it can go in so many different ways with these three guys behind Jonathan Taylor. You know, do they keep all three of them? Do they only keep two of them? And which two do they keep if they keep two? But I want to kick it off with Zach Moss, where Zach Moss is not a player where he's going to catch 50 passes in a season. He's not going to be your Nyheim Hines. He's not going to be your Kenneth Gainwell. But he is a player who can maybe be your Jay Ajayi, you know, if you're looking at old Philadelphia Eagles offense. He could be your who was that guy they had out of Oklahoma last year? Someone in the comments can correct me here, but they had some big time. I think it was Trey Sermon. Trey Sermon, I think, is who Sermon they had out of Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Yep. Trey Sermon. He can be that type of running back for you, where you just get him out there for, you know, 100 to 200 carries a season. Maybe not 100 carries. Maybe like 100 carries. Yeah, 100 carries actually sounds good. 100 carries a season. He pounds forward for about 4 yards a carry. Wears down a defense the couple carries he gets. And he's quite effective. He was really, really strong down the stretch for a really bad Colts team last year. And I was pretty impressed with him. So I think he's the closest to making the roster behind Jonathan Taylor, despite being kind of limited, just because I really enjoyed a lot of what he did late last season.
Yeah, there were so many times where the Colts offense was just totally anemic during the season. And down the stretch, when you got your Nick Foles games and then Sam Ellinger comes in, it was not good. It was at a lot of times worse than it was earlier in the season. But one of the lone bright spots was Moss. You know, like we said, Jonathan Taylor went on IR at the end of the year and missed the last handful of games. So when Moss came over in the trade for Nyheim Hines, he, after a few games, got into being the backup, basically. He was the next guy up. Over the final four games of the season, he averaged 83.5 rushing yards per game. And that was, I don't think he ever went below 65 yards in a game. Yeah. So those aren't eye-popping numbers, but it was consistency and it was noticeable that he was doing well. And a sign of a good running back is, you know, yards you create and yards after contact. His average yards per contact per attempt, so the average amount of, you know, yards that he got after first being contacted per each rush, that went up each week, showing he was more comfortable and more effective. So he really answered the call at the end of the year. He's not Jonathan Taylor by any means, but he's an effective between the tackles blocker. And especially earlier in his career, he got known as a good pass protector. Mm-hmm. And I think that as long as he shows up and does it again, I think that's what's going to lock him into the RB2 role with the Colts.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And one more thing I wanted to add with him, I think I put a tweet out there early in the offseason so you guys can see the exact numbers there. But I know those last four games with him as a starter, I want to say it was like 14% of his runs or 15% of his total runs resulted in a 10-plus yard gain. So he was create those are explosive plays. 10-plus yards rushing are explosive plays. And we're talking about Shane Steichen coming in here wanting an explosive offense. Zach Moss is creating explosives. And a lot of them, like you just said, were yards created after contact or after he was first touched by the defense. So I think Zach Moss has the inside track to making the roster, like you said, with the pass blocking and with his ability that he did last year. But behind that, you know, we're talking to two guys who are really, really good pass catchers. Two explosive players, super athletic players that are good pass catchers. One who's been with the Colts for a couple seasons and one who's coming out of college. We'll start with Deion Jackson, though. Deion Jackson was part of one of our most positive podcasts that we had last season, that Jacksonville game that the Colts won. I believe Deion Jackson had like 12 catches in that game, won a lot of fantasy matchups because of that game, because he had so many catches. You know, if you were in PPR and you had Deion Jackson that week, you were feeling great. But Deion Jackson, you know, he caught a lot of passes last year, did a lot of good things through the air. When he got the ball in the ground game, you know, it wasn't as efficient, but it was still there. Super athletic player, can play some special teams. And, you know, I want to get excited about Evan Hull, and we'll talk about him here in a second, but I don't want to get excited about Evan Hull and neglect Deion Jackson as a result, because Deion Jackson has been with this roster for a couple seasons and has the athletic ability and just the ability in the pass game to be an effective player. So, yes, Evan Hull, I'm excited about him, and I think he has a good role in this team. But Deion Jackson, let's not count him out completely, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Jackson was definitely a positive player. He was a positive presence in the offense last year. You know, that game where Taylor was hurt and Naheem got that concussion, like, immediately. I think it was against the Broncos.
Denver. Yep, Denver.
Yeah. Jackson came in and filled in pretty well. You mentioned that Jacksonville game. He caught 30 of 34 targets for 209 yards and a touchdown. That's decent production for a guy who didn't really play all that much. And you're mm-hmm. coming in and replacing a guy like Naheem Hines, who was far and away the primary pass catching back. Those are pretty adequate numbers. And you mentioned Evan Hull, of course. These guys, I don't know that they're going to, unless everyone just has a really good preseason, I don't know that everyone is going to make it necessarily. I think they might want to have Jackson and Hull battle it out, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know how many running backs they want to keep. Because, again, I mentioned the other day, there's some position groups with a lot of numbers at them. But, yeah, both these guys, good special teams players, or at least we expect Hull to be that way. Really good pass catchers. Hull had 55 catches last year. Probably not the guys you're going to go toward in pass protection, but decent inside runners as well can get you some short stuff. They're so similar that I don't know that both make it. Yeah. But you're right. Let the best man win, because I'm for it with either of them. I think both are pretty decent players.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last thing I'll say before you segue us here into this last section is that Evan Hull, I think, is more Kenneth Gainwell with the Philadelphia Eagles, where it's not super fast. It's not, you know, he's going to turn on the burners and create a 70-yard gain on a 5-yard pass or anything like that. But he's going to be effective and efficient underneath and can give you some in-between-the-tackle type stuff, where Deion Jackson is kind of more in that Naheem Hines role, where he can get open, he can create space for himself, and then when he gets the ball, he can accelerate and explode down the field for a huge gain. It's just what this offense values and what Shane Steichen wants. Does he want more of an outlet for the passing game, more of a route runner like an Evan Hull, or does he want a Deion Jackson where, hey, if the ball touches his hands, it might go for 0 yards, but it also might go for 50 yards. You know, there's kind of that push and pull with that. So it really depends on what wins out there. And obviously special teams are really a huge part of that with both of these guys. So I'm excited for that roster battle. I think both those guys have a good chance. And you know, who knows, you know, we might keep four running backs next year like they have in the past. Who knows what Shane Steichen wants? Obviously with Philadelphia, they've kept four running backs quite a bit. They like to have that platoon, but they've also never had a running back like Jonathan Taylor as number one. So it kind of impacts that a little bit there. But yeah, Evan Hull versus Deion Jackson, whether that's just for making the roster or for making playing time and not being an inactive player throughout the week, I'm excited to see what comes from that roster battle.
Yeah, without a doubt. So next up, which guys are going to be fighting for that final roster spot? There are a couple guys out there with a little bit of experience, so we'll figure that out next. All right, Zach, what do you know about Jake Funk and Darius Higgins? Actually, if there's anyone who knows much about Jake Funk, it's really you, honestly.
Obviously.
Yeah, brush the hair back.
Yeah, brush the hair back. I'm from the DMV area. Of course, I know Jake Funk, the Maryland great, really, really fun running back. But no, Jake Funk, you know, he's as pure of a special teamer as you can get. You know, he's kind of that Jordan Wilkins type player where, yes, you'll enjoy some of those offensive snaps he gets. And, you know, he'll have some good moments on offense if he were to get out there. But you're looking at more of a personal protector type guy on the punt team. You're looking at a guy who will run down punts, who will run down kicks and stuff like that. He did that with the Los Angeles Rams the last couple seasons. But yeah, no, he's a fun little player. I wouldn't hate him whatsoever on the practice squad, or if he were to get cut and get claimed by another team to be a special teamer, like I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever. I think that's just his ultimate goal in the NFL. So yeah, I enjoy Jake Funk. I don't really see him as much more than a special teamer at all. But yeah, Jake Funk, yeah, that's a Maryland guy. Of course I know a Maryland guy, Jake. Get out of here. I know the guys that are close to me. I obviously travel all over the place and watch these guys.
No, I remember when the Colts picked him up last year, I texted you right away. I was like, oh, Jake Funk, he's from Maryland, whatever. I was like, you know something about him, right? You're like, I think you said good athlete, special teams, can catch the ball, I think is yep. what you said. So yeah, I mean, he's got a little experience. He was with the Rams. Did he go somewhere else too? I feel like he was on one other squad.
I don't think so. Well, I know coming out of college, he was with the Rams and he stuck with them for at least a year. He might have been claimed by someone else before the Colts last season, but I know predominantly he's been with the Rams in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, he's a capable player. I do think he got in at the end of the season, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Nothing meaningful or anything, but he did get in there. The other guy, Darius Higgins, that's a rookie undrafted guy. I have in here Deion Jackson 2.0 ? Because obviously we haven't really watched him play yet, but from what I've read up on him, you know, he's 5'11", about 2'11", decent inside runner, known as a pass catcher. Not incredibly explosive, but can turn a corner. Special teams, Deion Jackson 2.0. Do we have a sleeper?
Jake, do you know where he's from? What college he's from?
He's from your area too.
He's from my area, Virginia yeah. State. He's a Virginia State.
That's right. I knew it was a state. That's right. Yes. Okay, so you know about Darius Higgins too.
Obviously, I was at every Virginia State game last season. No, I had to look up some of his highlights and stuff like that on YouTube. And I think I found one game. And, you know, the biggest thing I'm looking for when you look at small school prospects is, do they look like they don't belong on that football field? Do they look like a guy who it's like, you know, it's like seeing Michael Orr in The Blind Side versus like all those tiny dudes or whatever, like pushing them 50 yards down the field. Like, do they look like that in the small school game? And Darius Higgins, you know, in the couple clips I saw, you could see the explosion, you could see the acceleration. I know that in some of his pre-draft workouts, I believe he hit 4.3 in a couple of his times. His official time, I think, was a little bit higher, like 4.4 something or 4.5 even. But he did hit in the low 4.3s or high 4.3s according to some scouts. So you can see some of that explosion, some of that speed and stuff like that on film. But he's going to be one of those guys where you really have to see it in camp, because it's hard to grab that Virginia State film and really analyze it, you know, because you feel like you're watching, like if you're looking up your old high school highlights or something like that, it feels like that's what you're watching. Virginia State. But yeah, no, Darius Higgins, I'm excited for him, you know, and if he ends up being a Deion Jackson type guy in camp, that'd be awesome. You know, I want any of these are long shot guys we're talking about here on the bubble and stuff, you know, Jake Funk and Darius Higgins. But if they beat out Evan Hull and Deion Jackson or even Zach Moss, like, that's awesome. Competition breeds great things for your team. You want positive impacts of competition. That's how guys like, you know, Ashton Doolin have made the roster in the past. That's how guys like Dallas Flowers have made the roster in the past, by beating out people they were not supposed to beat out. So I'm excited for both these guys. I hope they have good off seasons, but as of right now, we have to have them the long shots because we just don't know enough about them. They don't really have too much capital or monetary, you know, backing to make the roster.
Yeah, and the Colts will give them their chance, even if it's just practice squad, which is more likely. You know, in the last two seasons, we've seen Deion Jackson was practice squad, and then he ultimately made it to the roster. Devontae Price was a guy they really liked last offseason, another UDFA. So Higgins, I mean, it doesn't seem likely that he makes the roster, but I mean, practice squad guy perhaps. He could be a totally boring player when we get to training camp and he just runs between the tackles into his blockers all the time. Right. We don't know. but we have seen outliers and these UDFAs that have looked pretty good in camp. So he's someone who appears to be capable of it.
Yeah, 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 for sure. But looking at this running back group in general before we close out this show, again, I don't think I can go as far as you did at the beginning of the show by saying this is the deepest they've had since my time covering. I don't look, man, I got excited about Spencer Ware a couple years ago when he got brought over. We all got kind of excited about that. But yeah, I will say it offers a lot of intrigue in terms of just the skill sets they have behind Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, you want Jonathan Taylor to be your guy. You want to get him the ball as much as possible because when the ball is in his hands, he's one of the most electric, explosive players in all of football. But behind that, you know, you have a lot of really interesting pieces. You know, you have the thunder that is Zach Moss. You know, Zach Moss, who he's not going to break off a 70-yard run, but he's going to be able to run through the tackles. He's going to be able to run through linebackers trying to grab him. He's going to create those explosive plays 10, 11, 12 yards at a time. And then aside from that, you have the pass catchers that can go into a passing attack that you likely need to draw up for Anthony Richardson. You know, you're going to have guys like Evan Hull, like Deion Jackson, maybe even Jake Funk. You know, if he gets out there, have those pass catchers that can get open, that can separate against linebackers and create some extra yards. So while I don't think it top to bottom, it's super deep, I do think you have your superstar and then you have a lot of intriguing pieces that could be good in the right situation. So I like this running back group. I think all these guys can be pretty productive. And I'm excited to see what happens between Evan Hull and Deion Jackson for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a low key battle to keep an eye on this summer. But no, in general with the group after Taylor, I mean, we've seen now that he can get hurt because he had never even missed a practice like up until last year.
Right.
I'd be comfortable with at least these top couple guys who could run the ball and fill in his absence. Zach Moss did a really good job in terms of just pure running backs capable of filling the full duties of what would be asked of them. It would be a platoon, of course, behind Taylor, but that's why I feel comfortable in saying they're a deep group, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I mean, with Nyheim Hines, that's great that you have him, but you didn't want him to be your bell cow throughout a game necessarily. He's got kind of a role he needed to fill, but these guys seem more natural for the position, I guess.
Yeah, I guess my one slight pushback would be I don't feel as comfortable with these guys as I did about Jordan Wilkins and Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines a couple years ago.
I said in a while.
Like I felt so good about Hines and Wilkins as backups. Yeah. Like I felt really good. And then Marlon Mack coming back as a backup that one season too. Like I felt
we got robbed of Mack only playing like a half. That backfield could have been so good.
Oh, the Phillip Rivers season with all four of those guys.
First game in Jacksonville, Mack was killing the Jags. Taylor's first touch was a 35-yard catch that to the 1-yard line.
Hines scored the first touchdown.
Yeah, Hines had two touchdowns. Like they were killing him, and then Mack went out.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking there. So you know, it's their best running back group since 2020.
Since then.
Yeah, since 2020. Well, you know what? I'll give you that. I'll feel good about that right there. Let's put it that. But no, overall, I do like this running back group. It's going to be one of the more interesting positional battles for sure this offseason. But Everydayers, keep checking in with us each week as we talk about these different positions and talk about these positional battles. Check in with us tomorrow for a breakdown about the wide receiver position and why the Colts have a couple guys ready to break out that are not named Michael Pittman Jr. If you guys don't already, follow us at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also, subscribe to Locked On Colts podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast. We love your guys' ratings and reviews, and we'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow morning.